Welcome to Big Blend Radio's California Employment Law Podcast, featuring San Diego attorney Ward Heinrichs. Hey, everybody. It is the fourth Wednesday, so you know Ward is back to give us some advice about California employment law. Today, we're going to be fired. Yes, that's right. Are you fired? I'm firing myself. It's a Friday when we're recording. Ward, do you want me to fire you today? Would you like to be fired?
Why not?
Let's be fired.
It's hard to fire me because I work for myself.
I know.
I've been doing that for a long time. So
yeah,
I'd like to experience it, put it that way.
Nancy and I fire each other and ourselves all the time because that's a way to stop. Because it's the only way we can get a break sometimes. It's like, you're fired. You're fired. And then we go sit outside and have a glass of wine. But for those who are not working for themselves, getting fired is a big deal, actually.
Oh,
I was
yeah.
just revisiting an interview we did with a lady about it. And you could be working in a company for 15, 20 years, have actually really helped build that company with clients, Intel. What about the tech world right now? This has got to be a big deal when we talk about California law, because you look at Silicon Valley and all the startups. So we're talking about California severance, non-compete, and defamation issues. Woo. So
woo.
We're not fired, but you might be out there, and that sucks. It's hard to deal with, but what happens when you get fired after that in regards to getting unemployment, right? And whatever, you may get a severance package, right? And also, you may have signed something at when you got employed. So let's start at the beginning of what happens when you get employed. And is this something that you should probably not forget about and revisit every year or so when all these new laws come into place?
Yeah, well, you have to be aware of what's changing and then make those changes. And with non-compete, that's the big one this year. It's always been illegal for most situations. And in the article, I highlight the true uses where you can have non-compete clauses. But now they've put more teeth into those laws. So before, employers could throw in a non-compete clause in, even when it wasn't, you know, pretty clearly what wasn't an exception to the rule, one of those three basic exceptions. And the idea was, well, it could prevent someone from competing directly against you. And usually you saw that with higher ups and sometimes salespeople. And then maybe the follow-on employer would go, wait a second, you got this non-compete. And, you know, maybe I know they're not legal, but boy, I don't want to get sued over this. And so people, it actually was a deterrent, at least to some degree. You know, how often it really worked, I really don't know. But I have been involved in cases where it did. So these illegal non-competes really prevented someone from getting a follow-on job in some cases. But now the California legislature said, we're going to make sure that that doesn't happen. And we want people to be able to work in the industries that they've chosen. So we're going to put more teeth into this non-compete law. And if it doesn't meet one of the exceptions, then the person who has this, the employee has this non-compete in some type of agreement, could be the initial employment agreement. It could be a separate agreement, could be a million different things. That those are now void, and that the employees under that provision can sue, just for the fact that it's there, they can sue.
Wow. Just for the fact that, so employers have to be aware and employees do too. And so, because things can get hot and heavy and crazy when there's a firing situation, you know, so the emotional stuff, and even let's just talk about if you want to quit, right? We were talking about that before we started recording about, like, you just, you know, the straw breaks the camel's back and that's it. You know, your boss has done one more thing that has just completely pissed you off. And you're like, you know what? Screw you. I've had it. But what if you've been there like the 15, 20 years, 10 years, 5 years? It's still part of your life. You've done something. And maybe they are an idiot. I don't know who that boss is. Maybe they're not. Maybe you're just, you know, having a,
they're not getting along for some reason.
Yeah, there you go. Well done.
You know, who knows?
You saved me there. You did it. You did it. You got the words there. You know, but you could get, and how sometimes people just blow up. And I've seen it in the workplace situation where suddenly people just absolutely blow up. And when they do, I kind of find it funny. But it's not funny, but
it's not funny because people get so upset about this. I mean, if you're not expecting it, especially.
Well, that's why I
I run into
laugh.
this in my work all the time. So all of a sudden the hammers drop and you're going, what is going on? That's an emotional situation.
Yeah, when someone loses it, like the employer absolutely should not. But they do, right? I mean, we've talked about this on shows where you say like an employer could be yelling you at all the time, but you can't really do anything about that other than quit if you don't want it, right? There's like no laws about like someone just yelling and eventually you go, screw you, I'm out. I'm tired of that, but you should be smart about it, methodical and organized when you leave somewhere. And if you're getting fired for not handling I mean, if you're in a kitchen, like I know you work with a lot of restaurants and you're in a chef and you're a sous chef and your chef is yelling all the time, you're going to have to
That can
kind of
happen.
get used to that because that's the way it is.
Yeah, probably so. It depends what they're yelling about. If they're yelling, saying,
Oh.
boy, I don't like women, and they're yelling at a woman, well,
Oh, well, now
now
that's,
we got a
yeah.
discrimination case. But if it's just general yelling, and again, we've been over this before, where there's cases where someone is just a ridiculous manager and is mean to everyone. Well, that's a defense to a discrimination claim. They're saying, well, look, he's not picking on you. He's picking on everyone. So it's not
Yeah,
because
yeah.
you're a woman or your color or your ethnic background. It's because he's just a jerk to
He's
everyone.
just a jerk. So, and I wanted to bring this
That's
up
not
because,
illegal, but it can
yeah.
cause proof problems. And so someone could still bring a claim and say, this is the way, they're picking on me because of my protected category, my protected class. And who's to know for sure? And then they're gonna have to bring in all these witnesses and say, well, he's a jerk to everyone. And then maybe the jury still doesn't like that person and goes, well, we're gonna find anyway. You
Yeah.
never, so being that kind of manager definitely has its exposure to liability, no matter what. It just does.
And it can end
Is,
up
are there
being public.
defenses? There can be. I'm
And
sorry.
people can, and it can be end up public. You know what I mean? It's like people talk. And so that's where I know we're going to talk about that. People can talk. And you may not want to frequent that business as a customer if you know you're treating your employees like crud, you know?
Yeah, have
So
you ever read Glass Ceiling? And then that kind of
see?
stuff is in there all the time.
Yeah, it built. Eventually, the laundry comes out. Sorry, it does. It all comes
It
out
does.
eventually.
I
So
agree.
just behave. Be nice. I mean, really. So let's go to the beginning. And you've got a great article outlining these laws. Everyone's on blendradioandtv.com. Link is in the show notes as always. So is Ward's website. Link. Should I tell everybody your website?
Oh, please do.
Bestemploymentattorneysandiego.com. No reading the notes. I know it. Yeah. So there you go. But let's talk about severance. Okay, so a severance agreement, right? That is something that you sign at the beginning. And these kinds of agreements, what
Oh,
kind of
no. Severance is usually at the end.
Okay, at the end.
At
So
the
is
end of,
this
yeah.
any kind of employment, or is this specific kinds of employment that have this?
No, you can do a severance agreement at, put it this way, and any employer can use a severance agreement. And very often I talk about that as a tool to use if you're going to terminate someone. As you know, I represent both employers and employees, but I spend most of my time with employers and advising them. And so when these kind of situations come up, I say, well, should we consider giving them some money to go away? And then they'll sign a release, and then you don't have to worry about some of them coming back on you. So it's a good tool. I want to back up just a tad. There also is another good tool for employers, and that's the at-will doctrine, because that says you can fire someone for any reason as long as it's not an illegal reason, and the employee is allowed to leave for any reason or no reason at all. That's right in the at-will doctrine. So that's the first line of defense. But then sometimes things get a little gray and a little mucky, and you go, well, maybe we should consider severance because I know you want this person gone. And what's the best way to get rid of them to make sure that you're protected?
Hush money. Did I say I said it? You didn't. You're safe, because you know. But okay. So this other one, that will, that's not, is that something you sign when you're employed, when you first come on board, or is that just a just
You mean the at
a
will?
yeah, is that something that's everybody already knows and does?
Well, everyone in California is presumed to be an at will employee. And the only way you can get yourself outside of that is to have like some type of agreement that says that you're not. However, then there have been issues where an employee says, well, no, I wasn't at will. They promised me when I first started working here that I would have a job forever. And there have been cases like that. So then you kind of get in, well, were they at will or not? And so what most employers do now is they have the at will agreement in their handbooks. They have the at will agreement in their offer letters, and they restate it as many times as they possibly can, saying, hey, you're at will and you know it. And then when you sign for this handbook, you're going to say, I'm at will. And then you're going to sign below that. So it's a good idea to reinforce it as an employer. Do you have to? No, because the at-will doctrine is already out there. But the reason why you want to do that is you want to make sure that the employee understands their at-will. So that's why.
Okay. So that first line of defense. And then it's good for the employee too, because if they want to bail, they can.
Yes. Yeah. No, certainly. Employees are free to leave for any reason. They can just
I'm
go.
Just like, I don't like the color shirt you're wearing today, so I'm leaving, because it goes against.
It's usually not the big problem, though. Usually
I know. I'm just using a. Like an example, you know what I mean?
Yes,
for any
no,
reason,
I agree.
It's like, that's it. You know, I'm sick of this. I'm leaving, or I'm moving, or whatever. So I think a lot of people have that, where it's like, you know, my spouse is moving, you know, to a new job in a new state. And of course I want to go with my spouse. So
right.
I'm
And then
out.
You can say, hey, I got to go. And really, you don't even have to give any notice.
Oh, really?
No, you don't. Again, unless you're one of those people who isn't at will and there may be a notice agreement. You don't have to.
You could just, wow, that's hard for business owners. Like, someone could just walk. So this is a good thing to have that communication set up for those reasons.
Good management most of the time as to whether you're getting the kind of notice that would make you feel comfortable or, you know, help your business. Now, what I've also seen is some employee says, hey, I got to go in 2 weeks. I'm giving you 2 weeks notice. Just want to be fair here. And then the employer terminates them the next day because they say, well, we just don't want you around now. And that probably isn't illegal unless we can just put it in one of those boxes we've talked about before. You know,
yeah, it's just a wonky one.
Yeah, and it's pretty safe. I mean, I don't think that's a great thing, but I know why employers do it. They do it because they don't want this person who is short term fooling around and maybe taking stuff that they shouldn't have access to. So
oh, yeah. Yeah, there could
they
be.
get a little
So,
scared.
well, I think,
That's
you
why
know,
they do
that's
it.
what I was coming up with. I know you do in a lot of hospitality and everything, but the tech world right now is, I mean, you don't want to take someone's secret and take it to another company. And that can, I think,
Oh,
a lot
yeah.
of these laws, this is a big deal. I mean, you don't want to take secrets, clients and secrets, company, you know, actual. So like defamation is when now you're going to start spreading stuff, right? Like, oh, I know this and that, but aren't
But you
there
touched
like,
on trade secrets, and that is something
that's
that people
separate.
would need to protect, and most employers do pretty well with that. And it's usually in some type of offer or a severance agreement. You'll see it there. Often it's a separate agreement. So you want to protect that kind of stuff. I agree with you. But it's not related to defamation. Defamation really is, you know, it's telling a lie about someone that hurts their reputation. That's bottom
That's
line.
not cool. Well, if you went to a new job, right, and started, you know, trashing your last employer, I would look at getting rid of you, because it just isn't like, you don't, you know what I mean? There's some people that whine and moan and complain about everyone everywhere, and I would not want them in my company whatsoever. It's like, get on with it, move on with it. You can have your wine session, but don't bring it to your new place and trash the old one. That's not really good business. You know what I mean?
No, it's not wise for an employee to do that if they've moved. People start
you're going to get a bad reputation.
In the workplace, you're going to get a bad reputation. Yeah, it's not the best move to take. Is it illegal? It could be. Depends what you say. I mean, it could be defamation. You know, I defined it pretty well. It's a false.
Explain defamation. Yes, go through it because the article's in there, but here on the podcast, for people to understand. Okay, so there's severance. Okay, so the severance part is like, here, I'm going to pay you a little bit and let's just move forward, right? So someone has to pay.
And then you sign the agreement that waives your rights to sue the company.
Okay, you're going to say, okay, like, I didn't like what you did. You sucked. And, you know, give me the money and I'm walking off. And sometimes that's kind of what some employees even do, don't they? They kind of, ooh, there are some, you know, there are some that create drama. And then really do want to pay them off and get them out, you know, and they know it. You know what I mean?
I have seen so many different things on that. Sometimes I don't think they know it. but I've seen it certainly where you go, wow, I wonder if this person can play the system a little bit. But, you know, it is what it is. You just got to dig in and take care of the situation.
Yeah, and get it and quickly. Don't
and
sit on it.
Maybe a severance in that situation and signing a severance agreement, which means waiving your rights, is the best way to handle it.
And so do you do that? Do you make up the agreement as the attorney or? Okay, you write that up. And
I really don't like clients to do their own because often they're really bad. They get them off the internet. They're just they might be good in Nevada, but not California. And it's just have an attorney do it. It's not that expensive.
Yeah. And you want to do it quickly, right? Like move it. Don't
well,
sit
that
on
depends
it.
Depends on the client. I mean, there's sometimes when maybe you don't want to do it right away. The timing differs. But I would say, in the most cases, yes, I think you do want to do it quickly.
And so a severance, where do you see most of the businesses having to do this? Like, is it about temperament or is it just out of extra caution that people do this?
Again, that's kind of situational. If you feel like, if the employer feels like, well, this person's a risk for me, then that's a good reason to start talking about severance and maybe offer some severance. If they go, well, some companies seem to have a policy of giving at least some severance just to keep the books clean and make sure that nothing comes back on them because you never know. And so in those cases, yeah, there's probably going to be some severance offered. In other cases, actually, it could be required. And usually that's with C-suite people where they have a severance as part of their employment agreement.
That's what I was talking about before. Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay, yeah, that does exist, but it's pretty rare. It's only with, you know, people that...
Really high end.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so employers, like, okay, so say something happens and it was like an immediate termination, like that's it, you're fired, that's it, like you've three strikes, you're out, and you're on your 10th strike, so now we really have to pull the plug.
Yeah.
And then they say, okay, it's done, and they're going to go collect unemployment, go get a job, and then you hear through the grapevine that they're going, yak, 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 yak. This person, whether it's true or not, exaggerated truth is usually what happens in the medium world, right? That's kind of the balance from, I don't know, from what I know, it's always like an exaggerated truth. And then whoever's hearing it is going, okay, how much of this is real? There's always an element of truth. There's always a little fiber somewhere. And that's not good for the employee or, I mean, the employer or the business, right? So can you, like, once you said you're fired, you're out, bye, you know, you a month to 2 months down the road, you hear like they're telling the newspaper, they're writing, you know, social media tweets
they're
about you.
Me.
They're totally trashing. They're taking a swipe at the old ego. you know, the ego bus is in control and it can. So at that point, did you miss your severance opportunity or do you call and say, hey, I'm going to give you severance to shut you up?
All right. So it depends what, first of all, that could be actionable defamation. So you don't need an agreement for that. That's a law.
Oh, okay.
It's in California codes, and I'm pretty sure every state's got one. If not, if the state doesn't have one, I'm pretty sure it's common law, meaning it was created in England years ago. And all of it.
back in the days of the wig.
Back in the days of the wig. But I'm really sure that almost every state's got its own defamation laws on the books. And so in California, you do. And the if it's it's got to be a false statement. And even and so opinion and opinion is usually not illegal. It's usually not defamation. But there are hybrids. And then it gets kind of tricky as to, well, is that really just an opinion? Or is that a false statement that's been published? That means told to a third party, told to someone else. If you tell, if you, if I, if you're my employer and I say, you stink, and you act and you don't, then that may be defamation, but I haven't published it to anyone else, so it's not actionable.
It's just rude.
It's just being rude directly to someone.
But if you put it on social media,
that's published, so. Other people see it, and that
and the social media thing is a big deal, because even if it's a private account, that stuff will show down the road. Something will happen, and it will happen.
Oh well, yeah, that's a whole other
thing. That's a whole other
talking about. Yeah, putting something on the internet and it never goes away. Yeah, that's.
I have seen things that I had somebody on Facebook that I kind of knew from a on a business standpoint, nothing. I'd never met him, but it was like a, you know, people like, oh, we met on this or whatever. Never been on a podcast, nothing. But it was a connection through a connection, you know, and glad I didn't put this person on the podcast, because they did some weird kind of photos that ended up on Facebook. And I'm like, that is not being hacked. That's for reals. That
wow.
was for reals. And then all of a sudden it went away. And I'm like, oh, I do not believe what I just saw, and I don't ever. It's one of those things you can't undo. And I was like, oh no. And so I unfollowed, like, I don't want to know, because like that, I don't know. And especially, I mean, whatever happened really happened. So I don't know if somebody was blackmailing them and hacking and blackmailing, but that stuff existed. That was real. And I just was hard, like, I've seen it twice, actually.
So are you talking about pictures?
Oh yeah. Oh, dude, things you don't. I mean, in the pub, not as a email or a message or DM or, no, on their page,
wow.
Twice. I know a lot of musicians.
Woo.
Anyway, and I'm like woke, and so how do you, you know? Anyway, weird. Yeah, just don't. Have those people in your circle, just saying, don't do it.
You know,
I think there's something
interesting
on that.
If I were to publish, you know, if an employee or employer were to publish something that is potentially private and the person thought it was private and then publish it, that could be defamation, because it could put them in an untrue light. And it's published. So it's possible, but there are other causes of action that probably fit that a little better. I think that's possible.
But then there's, what happens if you have to stand up and say, hey, this dude is, you know, the Me Too thing, like you're being handsy to the girls in the office and whatever, then you need to speak out. So there's that, where somebody would say that's defamation, but it's, no, there's a true situation.
If it's true, then it's not defamation. But
you have to go through the defamation red tape to get through the truth.
Well, you might have to. So you may have to litigate to figure out whether it's true or not. So that's one potential issue. But there's also, in severance agreements, usually non-disparagement clauses. And those are sort of like defamation, but they're contractual. They're in the agreement. And it's usually way broader than defamation. It doesn't necessarily have to be a false statement. It'd be a true statement that disparages, you know, the employer or the employee. And usually there's two ways I've seen these. In some severance agreements, it's one way, and it's only for the benefit of the employer. And and then I've seen it where it's the benefit for both parties, both the employer and the employee. But usually the employer has more exposure to damage from an ex-employee chirping about things. And so even if it's true, but it could harm reputation, you might be able to bring a lawsuit based on the breach of the contract, breach of that provision in the severance agreement contract. And those are really common. So, and they're always broader. And sometimes they're really specific about, you know, you can't say anything bad about the any other employee, the bosses, any shareholders, any, you know, anything.
Oh, and, wow.
Yeah. And so that's really broad. And in terms of the coverage of people, and it's also broad in terms of it doesn't necessarily have to be false. It could be just something that does, even though it's true, could harm someone's reputation. And we don't want that going out there. So that's what this clause, it's non, the non-
and that's all the fine print none of us want to read.
Pretty much. Pretty much. Now, of course, I read them. And if I'm representing an employee, usually from the employer, they'll say, they'll have a one-way statute just for the benefit of the employer. I go, no, it's going to be two ways. You guys, if he can't say anything or she can't say anything about the company, then the company can't say anything. So
that protects everyone. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I have to say, when I represent an employer, I usually throw it out there as just protecting the employer. And so often it goes right through. And usually, all right, so usually it's not a problem. Usually people just kind of, they're happy they got the money and they go away and they're not going to grouse. But you do, you put it in there anyway, just to prevent, make sure that no one wants to grouse. Or if they
but do. I mean, what happens, like, if something negative happened in a workplace and you leave for a good reason?
Yeah.
Just be, some people can take stuff and some people can't, right? And they leave and they get the severance. But like, you have a glass of wine with your best friend, you're like, dude, you're not going to, here's the real truth. So can you get in trouble for doing that? If now the best friend, you know, glass of wine later, best friend's like, you know, she can't keep a secret. Off she goes. Like, and I'm, it may be guys too. So it's not just women. I'm, you know, saying can't keep a secret. Like, and there's so many people I know, you trust them, you know, with everything. And then next thing you know, their mouth is out and they just can't help it.
Yeah, no, it happens. It's human. And that could be a problem, especially for non-disparagement. And if it's a lie, then it could be defamation as well. And that's the, if you tell someone else, and that's the key, and you're not telling the person who's got the agreement with you, then that could be fair game for a lawsuit.
So you have to keep that in and just get on with it. Like,
that's the
just
smartest thing
move
to do.
On.
Smartest thing,
yeah,
to do.
And if you don't, okay, so on both sides, because so don't have wine with your best friend that night, just take the money and run.
Well, no. Okay, practically though, you the way you spun that out was, well, this person is,
but you know, I'm
gabby.
Just being how humans are, you know what,
well,
I mean?
That person's very getting, so if you tell your best friend and you're really confident they'll keep it in confidence, then I mean, that's what you normally see. It's just, who's gonna find out?
Yeah,
you know, they told their friend. And is their friend really going to run around and put it in the New York Times?
Yeah. Hopefully not.
Yeah. And if they tell, you know, a few other people who are friends, it's probably not going to spread to where the former employer is going to hear it.
So if you've given the severance pay and everybody's agreed to this, and then you get caught with the defamation later because you did tell your friend and your friend told somebody else who happened to know somebody who's like more on the inside of that, you know, arena, and didn't realize that this other person they told is like, oh yeah, well, I'm, you know, maybe they told like a cop or something, or I don't know what's going down. I don't know what's going down, but whatever's going down, you know, here's the best friend. The best friend's like, yeah, and then just forgets to talks to another friend and go, oh man, this happened with this person. They work for this company and this is what happened. And the other person has like intel of that. They know that's their arena. And that's why the best friend spilled her guts, because she just didn't think anything about it.
Okay.
And then, so now we're off to the defamation thing, even though you've been paid.
Or non-disparagement,
now,
which is more of a risk.
So now, employee is in trouble. And so is the company, because the severance pay didn't work. So...
Well, that's why you paid the severance, because you got the waiver and you got the non-disparagement clause, and you also have defamation that you can always, that you could allege in a complaint. And so that's what gives the power to the employer to file a lawsuit and say, you've got to stop this. And very often we have things for non-disparagement that are what we call liquidated damages. So, you know, it's hard to prove the value of this. So if we prove it, then you owe us $4,000. So sometimes you have things like that.
So can we just go over disparagement versus defamation? Those two need to be clear. We're legalizing again. Legalizing?
Yeah, this is legalizing.
So defamation is like if you put someone down and trash them, basically. You're trash talking.
But it's got to be a false statement.
Oh, false.
It's got to be a false statement. And disparagement, depending on how you write the provision. I quoted one in my article, a real simple one. Usually they're way more detailed than that. About it says, hey, you can't say anything bad about me. Even if it's true, it doesn't matter. And that's the biggest difference. If this qualifies as, how did I write that? Disparaging comment, will not make any disparaging comments about the employer. Yeah. Just disparaging is all the only word that in there. And what is disparaging? Well, it would include defamation, but it sounds like it's broader than defamation. If it harms my reputation is the way I would interpret that. And lawyers could fight about that. Well, what is disparaging? That's why it's usually more the provision.
The gray area.
Provisions are more detailed so that there's less gray area. This one has more gray area. But it's a good example. Disparaging, that could be a true statement, but it harms me. It disparages me. So
don't disparage. Well, and then it's like it can really destroy a company in marketing and PR, reputation, trust. I mean, you could have.
Yeah. True statements can do that, or opinion. You know, like I said, opinion and defamation usually isn't allowed. That's usually not something that you can file a defamation lawsuit about. But even opinion could be disparaging. So it's just broader.
Yeah.
And that's why you have it in the agreement, because you don't want to just be protected by defamation, which is narrow. It's got to be false. Anyway.
Wow.
So that's the difference.
So now, okay, so there's new laws this year, so everyone needs to be aware of what they can and cannot do, right?
In the non-compete arena, yeah. And every employer really has to be on top of this, because there's only certain few situations where you can use a non-compete, and just don't use them anywhere else.
That's what you were saying at the beginning when we were doing the big annual, you know?
Yeah.
And the non-compete, you're just like, just don't do it. Don't do it unless you don't.
Okay. Unless it's one of the exceptions. And then you can do it. And that's perfectly fine to do it then. But those exceptions rarely happen. And so for most employment situations, you cannot have a non-solicitation provision in any agreement.
I wonder what's happening now, like in regards to so many people working remotely, and there's still that little tension going back. Some people are back. Seems to me like, you know, depending on the career and everything, that a lot of people are having that flexibility of working from home and going to the office like maybe twice a week or something, 2 to 3 times a week, depending. And so there's the gossip is now mostly online in chats and things like that. So there's actual evidence.
Oh, yeah.
This is, I think it's changing.
There's more evidence. And before we move on to that, I just wanted to clarify. I said non-solicitation. I meant non-compete from the last
statement. Okay, non-compete. Yeah.
Yeah. Non-solicitation clauses can be defined by the courts as non-compete clauses, too. So that's another thing you got to look at.
In other words, you're not going to go after somebody else. Like if you knew that, if you got a new job and your new company that you're working for is competitive, but you know that there's this client that's ready to buy and you decide to go knock on the other client that was going with the old company, that's the non-soliciting thing. Don't go stealing.
Yeah, that can be, but that can, so that's a non, yeah, that's a non-solicitation kind of agreement that would cover that, but that could also be an illegal non-compete clause. So the courts could interpret it that way.
Oh, so that's the whole thing with this. Yeah, it's
that's that. Yes, that's
these are like old laws that actually, yeah, this whole, yeah, these are old laws that people have been kind of running on, and employees thought that, you know, that they had to adhere, and it's not true. Because California is for the employee, for sure.
Yeah, but I would say, except for the at-will doctrine, most of the laws favor the employees, no doubt.
Yeah. So that's, well, you know, it's interesting about what's going on with the food one, too. The fast food, this is...
Oh, my gosh, yeah. Well, and we're really talking about minimum wage and how that affects the whole economy in California. We're seeing some things, well, that I thought would happen. McDonald's said, hey, we're going to mechanize a lot more. And other companies have said the same thing. And some have really doing that because they don't want to pay $20 an hour. They say,
well,
now,
Asia, you have your fast food come out of a machine. Like, here's your hamburger.
You're going to see more of that now. You're definitely going to see more of that.
Isn't that weird? Like, to
you're
me?
You're not used to it. I think when once you get used to it, you might not think it's weird.
Ward, when we got to this country from South Africa and I saw a coffee vending machine, I went berserk. I couldn't believe you could get hot coffee out of a vending machine. It was the biggest, newest thing to me. I mean, come on, I know this was many years ago, but I hadn't seen it. It was like from like a movie. People were looking at me like, I'm like, what's wrong with you? I'm like, I don't know. I just came out of Africa. We didn't have vending machines with coffee. I don't even think we had vending machines at that time. I don't know, but this was like a whole, like, I understood vending machines where things came out that were, you know, like candy or whatever, but hot coffee, how on earth did they make this? Anyway,
it was
I
a
was
big
naive.
hit for a while anyway. I remember going in the vending machines when I would do night school and getting coffee. Need a little coffee.
Hey, I need coffee on the road all the time. Yeah, I had to switch gummy bears for coffee because gummy bears give you sugar high and then you drop. And that's not good when you're driving. So
No, that is not.
Coffee is good. Coffee is good. Everybody needs coffee. But all these changes in the employment law, it is just everyone has to be aware. And I think the employees, too, really need to know, you know, what's happening. So in understanding defamation, you know, all these terms, illegalese, is important as well, you know, to look at that. And then looking at your communications, because I think we all, like we were saying, we're human. We talk. We do have a little gossipy, but I think maybe the martini lunch isn't a good idea anymore because that's when people start to spill stuff they shouldn't.
Well, and not too many. I haven't been to a martini lunch ever.
Actually,
that happened before my time. And
yeah,
I'm
that
not
was an
young.
old school thing. That was an old school thing, but it looked fun.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I don't know how much work got done, but, you know, now people play
well,
golf,
you know
I suppose.
There were some judges, you know, back in the day when I started practicing, and you might get a chance to talk to them a little bit. And they would say, oh, yeah, the two martini lunch, that was a real thing. And you just came back into the office and you basically didn't do anything in the afternoon.
Really? They really did that?
Well, I had one judge tell me that. So.
Wow. Wow. Well, you got to be nice to judges. I'm learning about that. And don't mess with judges. They'll get you.
Very smart. I mean, I appear in front of them. So yeah, you want to be on their good side for sure.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Because they're in control. So it's like that balance of being, you know, you don't want to kiss up to them either. Like, you have to be strong at what you're doing, but respectful would be the word, right? And
yeah, no. And you learn how to do that, you know, after years appearing in front of judges, you learn how to say things that are for your client and strongly stated, but aren't offensive to the judge. Sure.
So you have to like read the judge as
well,
you
part
know,
of it's reading the judge. Part of it's just the common way that lawyers speak to judges. I mean, there's kind of a pattern of speech that you adopt.
Okay, so when you go to court, right? I know you try not to let it get to that escalate point unless it needs to, you know, for a court case.
Right.
Letter writing is a good thing, like you've said over on shows. But when you do get into, okay, we're going to court and here we go, is it like in the TV shows and movies where you're looking at the other attorney and you're like, I'm going to get you? I mean, Are you guys really fighting out of the courtroom with each other and like bickering?
You know what I've found is that, and I don't mean to disparage younger attorneys,
Yeah,
but
be careful.
when I have a more aggressive relationship with an attorney, it almost always is with a younger attorney. When there's an attorney who's been doing it as long as I have, that doesn't mean that we don't advocate, and doesn't mean that we sometimes have a big difference, and we're clear about this big difference, and we may not even agree how the other person's going about describing it and trying to make an issue of it. But it's all I've just found that it's just easier to, all right, we had that disagreement, so what? You know, we're going to go home, we're going to see the people we love, and I like you too, so we just had to. But it tends to, when I see it get, you know, semi personal, I have to say I haven't had a bad relationship with the opposing counsel for ages. But there are times when it just seems like, well, this is a little over the top. It doesn't have to be this way. And it's usually with an aggressive young attorney. And I think that's good. They need to be aggressive. You need to do your thing. But you don't need, you know, disparagement. You don't need to disparage someone. That's the line you
That's
should
the
have
word of the
crossed.
day is disparagement, right?
Yeah, you don't want to go after the
Defamation, we know.
person. You can say, I disagree with what you're saying, but you don't say, I think you're a schmuck. You know, there's
Yeah,
two
exactly. I
different
just
things.
like, can we agree to disagree? Like that's, you know, the balance. And what it's kind of like politics, right? Everybody's like arguing on two sides, and it's like you can't do, like, no one will give anyone any room to move anything because now this hatred is so strong that nothing's actually moving forward. You have to inch, you know? It's kind of weird that way.
And I think you're right in the political arena too. We take things tend to take things too personally, and tend to disparage others when we don't agree with them. And if you would just say, I don't agree with your opinion, but I respect the fact that you have an opinion, and I can even tell you why I don't agree with it. But you know, that's as far as it has to go. You don't have to get into attacking the person. I think too much, both in the political arena and sometimes in court, and like I said, it really hasn't happened in a long, long time. The secret is don't make it personal. Don't.
You know, it's weird when back in our days of print, and this happened in San Diego, and this isn't an point, but kind of goes in, along with our story a bit. Nancy and I were doing a visitor guide, a travel guide for a certain community, and we went through a lot of fires, and we funded it solely. So people, you know, we basically did a free publication, which is we're talking print, full color print. So I don't even want to go into the amount of money that was paid out. And we said, okay, look, we did this to help get back after the fires, la la la. And then we needed to move, and you know, it was time to go and move to a different area because there was a shortage of houses. And we can do, as we know, we travel full time now, right? And one local company that's in the media industry went around. And this is, my clients know me well enough. They know, like, I, you know, they know me. They, one day I got so many phone calls. Is this true? Is this true? Is this true? Why didn't you tell us? This competitive media went around saying they bought us out. And so they, when they went around saying that, it sounded like they bought out all, like, big blend, like, so Nancy called them up and said, I'd like to know where our money is. You owe us this much. And
Well done.
it was one new sales rep that just thought, I'm going to say this, even though we weren't just doing one, it's like us not doing one podcast out of all the podcasts we do. It's not a bit, it's, you know what I mean? It's not like, okay. And it's just that we weren't physically there to do that anymore. And we'd already given everybody all the money towards it. And so that, I mean, this one new person went around saying, oh no, we bought them out. Because everybody's like, Nancy and Lisa are doing this. And they're like, no, they, so Nancy just gets on the phone. And like, and it stopped just at that, because one employee went rogue and thought it, they could do it. And they're in, and you're in a little town, and like you have to build a relationship. You don't go in with a suit in these kinds of places. And it just is, you have to build your trust in your relationship. And our relationship won out, obviously. But I thought that that was what that wouldn't even that is kind of defamation in a way. Like it's not, but it in a way it was like we bought you
Well,
out when there was no buying and selling. Anybody could do any publication they wanted. You know what I mean? It was just this one person with them, but they went to all of our clients, which made us look like we sold out and we didn't even tell our people. You know, that would be
I see.
that's
I
I
see.
got pissed.
That could be defamation.
I got
It's not a
mad,
true
but
statement, but again, that's
competitive.
defamation is often a gray area, and there's grayness to that fact situation. But yeah,
Well,
I mean, it wasn't a true statement. It sounds like, I mean, if you can really prove that, and then if it hurt you in some way, well, yeah, maybe that is defamation.
it didn't. All our clients called us and renewed their ads. So it's okay. It's like you have to have your relationships, you know. So, I mean, it was like, you know, we were doing the old school, you know, advertising stuff, but you've just got to, I just think little things can blow up very quickly, you know?
Yeah, and
And that was one thing that was caught very quickly and handled really well with humor, and it stopped because if it went one more time, it was gonna go. It was gonna, you know, don't start pushing. You know, Nancy was just like, oh, I'm gonna handle this. And I'm like, oh my God, no, here we go. And all she did, she just called him up and said, hey, I'm wondering, I haven't gotten the check hasn't been in the mail for a while. You bought us out. And they're like, what are you talking about? So she explained, and it all stopped. But if it had continued, we would have had to do something, you know, someone going around saying that they bought us out. That would have been, you know, how long that could have lasted, because our feet were on the ground, you know, and always in communication. Don't think it would have lasted too long, but that's not, that's that competitive stuff where you want to stop that kind of thing, you know? That's not a good business thing to do at all.
No. I
It didn't
yeah.
help them. It made them all look like liars. And none of those people bought ads
Ah.
from them. So they lost.
Yeah. Okay.
See, that's what
Well,
I say about
truth is a good
I think
thing.
this defamation and you know, it comes down to, I think, if people have good, clean communication that's honest and respectful, just like you're saying with the attorneys, with the politics and all of that, have some actual decent respect, because the little things can get big and get stupid and out of hand, and they don't need to. They really don't.
Yeah, and the
But
main thing to me is don't make it personal. You can disagree
yeah.
with it and not make it personal, and that's the big difference that I've seen.
Don't make it. I like that. I like that. Don't let your emotions take over. How about that?
I like that too.
Everyone, the link to Ward's article is in the show notes, and you can go to bestemploymentattorneysandiego.com. He'll be back on the show next month,
I
May, the
sure
month of
will.
May. Stuff will be going on. Stuff will be
Wow, this year
happening.
is rolling by.
I know. Wasn't it just like Christmas? Wasn't I
Feels
just
like it.
complaining about ice and snow?
Yeah, you were. That's right.
And now I'm like, I'm being blinded by the light. So I'm happy. Well, Ward, we can't wait. May's coming around and we'll have some more good stuff for everyone. So thanks for keeping everyone informed.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for listening to Big Blend Radio's California Employment Law Podcast with San Diego attorney Ward Heinrichs. Keep up with Ward at bestemploymentattorneysandiego.com or follow him on LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter. You can also subscribe to Big Blend Radio at Big Blend.